Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu.
With a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening.
Hold on, hold tight, make it through another night. And every day there comes a song with the dawn. We push and pull, and I fall down sometimes. And I'm not letting go, you hold the other line. 'Cause there is a light in your eyes, in your eyes.
Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it.
I'm learning to listen, just to rest in your nearness. I'm starting to notice you are speaking.
Steve Garness Holmes shared a poem and a prayer this week in honor or reflection on Labor Day. And so as our musicians move down, I want to invite us to open with his words of prayer. God, bless those who labor, especially those who labor so many among us may take a Labor Day vacation. Grant your grace to those whose labor costs them, whose labors degrade or wound or endanger them, body and soul. Bless those who pick our fruit and pack our meat, who clean our rooms, tend our gardens, gather our waste, and care for our aged, underpaid and unprotected. Be with those who risk to advocate and organize and unionize, those who labor for our sake. Sustain those who labor unhappily and those whose labors would be better spent with their children. We pray especially for those who labor under threat or force, who are not paid, are not free. May all who labor be granted Sabbath and know their worth apart from labor. In gratitude for your laborers, O God, we give thanks for those who join you in creating the world, that all our laborers may create and not destroy, bless and not abuse, and yield beauty and joy for the sake of the wholeness of all creation. Amen. our teachers among us, adults and a couple of teenagers, have been laboring over these last weeks in preparation for a new year of ministry here at the table with children. And we're really excited to begin a new year of both godly play and in the middle at 9:30 and 11 a.m. next Sunday. Our teaching teams will prepare a room upstairs for our third to sixth graders, and many of us will meet together on Tuesday of this week and a few others on Thursday. It turns out navigating schedules in the busyness of our world can be somewhat complicated, and we call that ministry, as we finalize plans, in the middle for our third to sixth graders, and that'll be upstairs. And over these last 9 years here at the table, we have had a godly play sanctuary for four-year-olds to second graders just down the hallway. And that room grew a little bit weary, is what I'll say, as we've shared it with Artenia Beast Academy of Whimsy and Play, our preschool. And so we've restored, refurbished a room upstairs, and starting next Sunday, our four-year-olds to second graders will make their way upstairs to gather in a circle on the floor for what we call godly play. Lori Ortiz did an amazing job of restoring the floor, and painting is still being just finished up there, and John Wright spent much of the summer handcrafting beautiful bookcases for our children in their sanctuary. 9 of our 10 Godly Play teachers spent an entire day together just a couple of weeks ago to prepare to help children wonder about the mystery and the love of God in their lives. So much labor and so much love has gone into preparing these spaces, which we set apart to help our children encounter and wonder about the movement of God in their lives. So much work and attention to offering space so that children might rest in the nearness of God each Sunday here at the table. And I want to confess that it is tempting over and over to forget the importance of resting in the nearness of God. It's not lost on me that as we prepared for this Sunday's focus of worship being on Sabbath, that last Sunday I celebrated our Casey Lipka, who just started a graduate program down in LA. So we had a beautiful lunch together in celebration of Casey's time with us and this master's in music and social change that she's working on. And then I immediately went from there and grabbed a bag and drove to Los Altos and led a 2-day gathering for folks in our area that think God might call them to church planting and want to learn about how to try that in our area. And then I left there at 11. I drove here and had about 20 minutes to grab a different bag and get on a plane and go to Chicago to gather with a different group of church planters that had been at this for 8, 9, 10, even 12 years to talk about what have we learned in the messiness of trying to figure out how to plant churches. And then I flew back yesterday, less than 24 hours ago, to gather today to teach you all about how you should take a day of Sabbath each week. Dude, the struggle is real. It's not like I forget the call to rest. It's more like I actively resist it. And I'm not alone in that tendency. There's a phenomenal book called Opening the Gift of Sabbath by Dorothy Bass, and she writes, 15 years ago on a Saturday night, I was out to dinner with my husband and another couple. We're all teachers, so she's a professor. And we began grousing about all the papers we'd have to grade tomorrow. One person complained, I have 20 papers to grade. And the next person said, I have 30 papers to grade. On and on and on. It's not just complaining, it was boasting about how much work we have to do tomorrow. And suddenly it hit her, if we had been speaking about our intention to violate another one of the commandments, we would not have been boasting in this way. If we were saying to each other, I'm planning tomorrow on stealing from 20 different houses, and somebody else says, from 30 different houses, we would have been convicted that something was like deeply wrong in our conversation. But the whole idea of Sabbath, she writes, has become invisible in most of our lives. The commandment to rest is found in both versions of the Ten Commandments, both in Deuteronomy 5 and in Exodus 20. And we heard Pastor Penny read the Exodus version today from the New Revised Standard Version. I want to pause and just share a different, there's a Presbyterian pastor named Eugene Peterson, and he writes, it's not a translation of the text, I would say it's like a paraphrase to try to help let it sink into the 21st century. This is how he paraphrases it. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Work 6 days and do everything you need to do, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to God, your God. Don't do any work. Not you, not your son, not your daughter, not your servant, not your maid, not your animals, not even the foreign guests visiting in your town. For in 6 days God made heaven, earth, and sea, and everything in them. God rested on the seventh day. Therefore, God blessed the Sabbath day. God set it apart as a holy day. Pastor Linda and I take time every couple of months. Our rhythm is to take the deep commitments that we all share each fall. We'll do that again in October this year. The commitments we make to how we want to be a community and how we want to be in relationship with God. We take those and we spend prayerful time reflecting on what is going on in the life of our community and how might worship be shaped so that we can lean into that together. So, for example, many people wrote in Reaching in Love about just the complexities of how immigration is being talked about right now in our lives, whether that's a call to work with refugees here in Sacramento or asylees, or to figure out this week we're going to talk with some people that are wondering what would it be like for us to take a group to witness what's happening on the border of our country and Mexico to the south. And so out of that, we were able to prayerfully discern that we need to focus on this in worship. So in November, we're going to have 4 different prophetic voices share their story of migration and their reflections on what it's how God might think about or God might invite us to rethinking immigration in our day-to-day. And I wish that I could tell you, you all wrote these amazing things on Rooted in Grace, and so we wanted to have a time to focus on Sabbath, but you didn't. Well, if you did, I didn't hear them very well. This worship, what we call like a standalone worship, somebody emailed me, what is a standalone worship? Usually we do everything in a series, like 3, 4, 5 weeks we spend on a theme. Today we're like, we're going to spend 1 day on Sabbath. So really what was going on to me was Linda's going to be gone for 3 months, and I thought this would be a beautiful time to reflect with you all on framing that and why we all need time of play and rest and renewal in our lives. And I wish that I was going to come to this space and I was going to share a message about her and about our community and about how God calls us to this. And that's not what today is going to be about at all, actually. Because preparing for this week, I realized that this message about Sabbath doesn't have anything to do with Linda taking a 3-month renewal leave, actually. And it started to hold a mirror up to myself. And I started to realize how far I've drifted from allowing a day of Sabbath to really shape my life in Christian community. And it stopped being about her or about us, and it started to be like deeply personal reflection on what's going on with this and what might I be called to change, as we just sang about. For me, this reflection started actually when our family was there. That's Holden Village. Holden Village is I shared about this a couple weeks ago. It's an ecumenical Lutheran retreat center focused on sustainability and social justice and art and faith in the Cascade Mountains of central Washington. And the rhythm of time at Holden is profoundly countercultural. First, and maybe the only thing that I needed, cell phones don't actually work there. Not actually anywhere near there. And so the simple and profound act of not being tied to my phone for an entire week, I'll be honest, for like an entire hour, engendered these questions about my relationship to technology and the ways that it can prevent me from truly resting. And gathering each evening for a brief communal worship challenged me to notice ways in which I might recommit to carving out daily time for trying to turn my full attention to the beauty and the mystery of God. Slowing down on vacation held a mirror to my life, and it seemed so frenzied. I tend to take for granted, or worse, to celebrate that frenzy, when I'm honest. And it asked me to look more deeply at ways in which I try to find meaning and identity by trying to work ceaselessly. And I think some of you might resonate with some of that. Biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann writes about it like this. In our own contemporary context of the rat race of anxiety, the celebration of Sabbath is an act of both resistance and alternative. It is resistance because it is a visible insistence that our lives are not defined by the production and consumption of commodity goods. Such an act of resistance requires enormous intentionality and communal reinforcement amidst the barrage of seductive pressures from the insatiable insistences of the market, he says. With its intrusion into every part of our life, from the family to the national budget. But Sabbath is not only resistance, it is alternative. It is an alternative to the demanding, chattering, pervasive presence of advertising and its great liturgical claim of professional sports, as we start college football this week and prepare for the NFL next week, that devours all of our rest time. The alternative and offer is the awareness and practice of the claim that we're situated on the receiving end of the gifts of God. So a day of rest and worship reminds us that we do not justify ourselves, that our reaching in love is a response that grows out of rooting our lives in grace and growing in faith rather than an effort to earn God's love. And keeping Sabbath is clearly a distinctively Jewish art form. Most Orthodox Jews refrain from carrying money with them on the Sabbath to avoid the mere temptation that they might enter into commerce. And Christian communities throughout the generations have adapted this practice in various ways. And actually, it feels to me like this is one of the practices that we have really lost as a culture. So I want to lift up just some of the marks of Sabbath. First, Sabbath marks the culmination, the seventh day, of the first creation story in Scripture. And Sabbath also celebrates the liberation of God's people from enslavement and remembers the exodus from servitude in Egypt. So it's both a culmination of the creation story and a celebration of God liberating God's people. It's something like how the creation of Labor Day was originally an annual way to remember and to celebrate labor movements' organizing work to ensure decent conditions for workers and time off. So too, the beginning of keeping the Sabbath was a way to remember and celebrate the people of God moving from bondage to freedom. And so in that way, Sabbath is always a communal act. And early in the formation of Christianity, followers of Jesus started to mark the Sabbath on Sunday as a way to align our Sabbath with the day of resurrection. That's where Sabbath comes on the Sunday in our Christian cultures. That's not the case for all Christian cultures. Setting aside a day of rest is always about trying to be open to how and to notice God's future breaking in upon us in the very moment that we're in. But often we rush right past. That's why we're singing that song, Not in a Hurry. In his book, Jewish Renewal, Rabbi Michael Lerner says that anyone engaging the practice of Shabbat can expect a rough ride for a couple of years at least. He says, quote, "This is because Sabbath involves pleasure, rest, freedom, and slowness, none of which comes naturally to North Americans, at least not this one. Most of us are as sold on speed, so invested in productivity, so convinced that multitasking is the way of life, that stopping for one whole day can feel at first like a kind of death. And plenty of us take an hour here or there and call it Sabbath, which is like driving 5 miles to town and calling it Europe. Two hours on a Friday afternoon is not enough, Lerner says. We need 10 times longer than that to calm down enough to draw a deep breath, breathe in, breathe out. We need 10 times 10 to trust the saving rhythm of Sabbath without worrying that our own ambition will yank the rug of rest out from under us. You haven't had the experience, he says, until you've tried doing it for the full 25 hours and doing it for a year or two minimum. That is not why I wanted to have this worship series be one day focused on Sabbath. My thought was we can have one Sunday focused on Sabbath. We can check that off. We can frame Linda's leave and we can move on. But it turns out it's going to take years to try to receive the gift of this Sabbath. 1 week is all I was looking for. Barbara Brown Taylor, the preacher to preachers, writes about it beautifully. She says, I've been doing it for 7 years now, which is how I know Rabbi Lerner is right. For the first couple of years, I paced as much as I rested. Every few hours, I caught my mind posing inventive questions. If I enjoyed yard work, was that really work? Was browsing a mail order catalog really shopping? By year three, I'd come to count on Sabbath the way I could count on food and breath. Wow. I could work like a demon the other 6 days of the week as long as I knew the seventh was coming. For the first time in my life, I could rest without leaving home. In its community form, Sabbath is not only about rest, but also about resistance. Each time it appears in the Torah, the commandment limits the exploitation of others as well as the exhaustion of the self. When you stop working, so do your children, your animals, your employees. Even if they do not believe in your God, you believe in your God, so they get the day off. That's a phenomenal command. By interrupting, she writes, our economically sanctioned social order every week, Sabbath suspends our subtle and not so subtle ways of dominating one another on a regular basis. The lion is restrained from making a profit on the lamb, who may choose to lie down for a Sabbath nap alone, but is free from fear of waking up as lamb chops on the day of rest. If we paid as much attention to Leviticus 25 as we did to Leviticus 18, we might discover that God cares at least as much about economics as about sex. In his book, Sabbath, Restoring the Sacred Rhythm of Rest, Wayne Muller writes, the Sabbath rocks us and holds us until we remember who we are. And in our culture, where time has become a commodity and remembering who we are is a deep challenge for many of us, Sabbath keeping may be more important than ever. So if keeping the Sabbath with intention is something that you've never tried, or if the gift of Sabbath has drifted away from your practice like it has mine, I hope that you'll join me in recommitting today to discerning what does it look like for you to rest, to play, to not be in a hurry for one whole day each week. When we find ourselves pacing or the anxiety rising, be gentle. Breathe in, as we sang, breathe out. And the challenge is to do that all day. Maybe take time this day to talk with family and friends about ways you might move into a rhythm of weekly Sabbath keeping. Sabbath is a gift. And finding our way into a deeper practice of honoring this gift may just change our lives, not this day, but in the years ahead. Not just our lives, but the life of our community. And not just our community, but the whole world. So may this be a beginning, or a new beginning, or renewal for you and for the whole world. Amen.
You make me new.